today gives me pleasure. You know, when you have faithful sons, committed lieutenant, hallelujah. Gives me joy to invite our assistant pastor. I know the hand of God is upon his life. And God has given him a word to bless us with. Let's welcome Pastor Oni.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to study your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us from heaven. We ask that you will prepare our hearts ready for your word this morning in Jesus' name. And we pray that this word will mix with faith in our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, I release myself to you that you speak through my mouth to exalt each and all of us here today in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that the grace to be doers of these things will be released upon us as a congregation, individually, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have the privilege of sharing the word of God with us today. I want to appreciate our Father in the Lord in the house. He has been of tremendous blessings to me as a person, to my family, and I believe to all of us. And I want to pray that the Almighty God that has begun a good work in him and with him, the Almighty God will perfect it in Jesus' name. I also want to pray for our mother in the Lord that the Almighty God has commissioned even to be our mother in the house and to share with this in this assignment that God has committed to our Father in the Lord, that the Almighty God will anoint her afresh in Jesus' name. I pray that having begun this good work also, that the Almighty God will perfect it in our life in Jesus' name. I pray that even as the Almighty God has started a good work in her, I pray that she will not be weary in well-doing in Jesus' name. And I pray also for this congregation. Brethren, it is of the Lord's mercy that we have not been consumed. The Almighty God has spared us as a remnant. I pray that this remnant will remain in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a blessing that God has for the remnant. I pray that that blessing will be your portion in Jesus' name. There's a blessing that God has for the people who remain, that the people who tarry, the people who are not intimidated by the littleness of what God does sometimes and the magnitude of the things that God does sometimes. Those people are the people like us that are here. And I pray that the blessings that become the portion of such persons will be yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you that you be not weary in well-doing. Thank you. I want to encourage you that you be not weary in doing the things that God has called you to do in this place. Everyone has a place that God has called them to walk. They might not have recognized it, but I pray that you have recognized it, and I pray that you will remain there. Everyone has a place where God is doing the check marks, is doing the checklist every time to see whether you are doing what he has called you to do. We are here on earth and we have our secular commitments, for those of us who have our secular commitments, but everyone has a spiritual assignment where God is going to ask you, what did you do where I sent you? What did you do with the work I committed to your hands? What did you do with the talents that I gave to you? I pray that we will have the reward of a profitable, a faithful servant on that day in Jesus' name. Brethren, this morning, without taking much of our time, I don't intend to take a long time today. I believe we have had so many different teachings on this same topic, especially in this month. And, you know, when our Father in the Lord told me that, you know, I'll be talking about this same topic today, I'm like, oh, what else am I going to say? Because we have heard so many things on the same topic in the recent time. But I believe that God still has something to tell us. Something that maybe they are just going to sound like I'm repeating the same thing that we have heard, you know, in a couple of days. some of the teachings that our Father in the Lord has taught us recently. Some of those things we will hear may sound like repetitions, but I pray that they will not merely sound like repetitions, but they will be impressed further on our hearts, and they will be more graced for us to be able to perform them in Jesus' name. Today I will be talking about the issue of tithing that we have started learning more and more about for some time. And I'm going to title this teaching. It's going to be a teaching, and that's why we will read a couple of scriptures today. It's going to be a teaching and not a sermon. So I'm trusting God to be able to teach on this topic today. So it's going to be titled, "It is the Lord's." That is, it belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Philippians 3, 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but to you it is safe." So Brother Paul was going to begin to write something that he thought they have had before. He was going to start writing a letter to the Philippian church. And he knew that the content of that letter may sound like something they have heard before. Maybe they have heard from him or they have heard from other people before. And so he set out a preamble to warn them. Because sometimes we have heard some things before and we just, as soon as they start it, as soon as, you know, especially for those of us who have spent some years in the faith, as soon as they read the scripture, we know where the message is going to start and, you know, it's going to end. And so we seal up. We can actually begin to preach it from our heart, even as we listen to the man of God. But this morning, I'm telling us the same way that Brother Paul wrote to the Philippians church. He said, to say the same thing, to write the same thing to you, to me is not grievous. That I don't feel any pain. I think another translation says that. That it's not painful for me to start to begin to write it. I can continue writing the same thing. You know, it's like when in those days when we used to learn handwriting. I don't know whether they still do that today. You have to type and type. We write, they ask you to write 100 times. The same thing you wrote in the first line, you will write it 100 times. And before you know it, your handwriting will improve. And so it's not grievous for me to say the same thing. It's not painful for me to say the same thing. And that's what the Spirit of God is saying here through Brother Paul. That is not grievous. And so maybe we have heard before this month, maybe you have heard about tithing in the time past. Maybe you have heard about it, you know, in the last couple of maybe years or so. And then you started hearing about tithing again. Maybe you sealed up your heart. I want to enjoin you to open up your heart. Maybe there is something personally, I've learned a lot. I know I've heard about tithing, you know, years after years. I've heard about it. But I've learned a lot in the last, few weeks that we started listening to our Father in the Lord talk about it. So, it is not grievous, but to you it is safe. To all of us it is safe. It is for our safety, because we will get to a point that we cannot go back to make amends. We will get to a point that we can no longer begin to argue. It will get to a time that we can no longer defend ourselves. We can no longer explain why we did what we did again, because it will be too late. And that's the safety part of it that Brother Paul was saying. I'm saying this not only because of tithing, but because of any message at all that we hear from this place. That you should not seal up your heart, that you've heard about it. You know, somebody has told, "Oh, brother, this, minister this, or reverend this, or pastor, or prophet this told me about." No. It is for our safety if we continue to hear the same thing. Because there's something that God is trying to tell us. And I pray that whatever God has in store for us today, we will be open to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hast not received it?" Brethren, there is nothing that you have received. There is nothing, no matter who we are, and no matter what we have, we received from God. We received from God. The Bible says that God breathed into the nostrils of man and man became a living soul. And so whatever we are at all, whoever we are, started from that place. Started from the fact that God gave something to you. He created you, he created me, and he released the breath into our nostrils and we became a living soul. And do you know the irony of it? We forgot that it was the Lord Almighty that made us to become a living soul. And that's why in the book of Luke, we may not read some of the scriptures anyway, I think because of our time. In the book of Luke chapter 12 from verse 16, we know about the rich fool. It's a very common story, very popular story. The man who said that his ground was so, brought forth so much harvest. And he said that his soul should be at rest. I think I will read that place so that I can make some specific references. Luke chapter 12 from verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The guy thought as if, he was talking as if he was in control of his soul. He was talking as if he was the one that actually owned that soul. He said, I will tell my soul, soul, commanding his soul like that, toiling his soul as if he was in charge of the soul. I will talk to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. And he took his ease. He took the ease with the body, but he forgot that he cannot take ease with the soul. And God said, thou fool, today your soul will be required of you. So God took ease of his soul, because the man thought he could take ease of his body and his soul. And God said, no, you can take ease of your body, you can decide to rest and not move, but I will take ease of the soul. Because the Bible says that God breathed into the nostril of man, and man became a living soul. So it is God that owns it. It's God that owns the soul. And so whatever we have, whoever we have, whatever we have, belongs to God. And that's the story of that man. I know we know the rest of the story. The man did not waste. I think verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So that is the story of somebody who lays up treasure for himself, somebody who builds castle in this place and does not build anything for eternity. And so I pray this morning that the Almighty God we enlighten our understanding, and we will know that he's the one that owns our souls. He's the one that owns everything. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, he said we should not be afraid of the one that can kill the body, but we should be afraid of the one that can kill the body and cast the soul to hell. And that is God Almighty. That is God Almighty. I want to refer to another story in the scriptures. I'm just trying to let us realize that whoever we are and whatever we have belongs to God. In the book of Acts of Apostles, that's another story that I know we have heard about, but let us also read it today. Acts of Apostles chapter 12, verse 21, from verse 21. Acts 12:21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not the glory to God. He gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost, because he did not give the glory to God. And so, whatever we have, whoever we are, we need to give the glory to God. We need to acknowledge that it is the God, it is the Lord that is at work. The Bible says he's the one that works in us both to will and to do. He's the one that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. This man, although he did not say it, that he was not giving glory to God, but God saw in his heart, the same way that God is looking at our hearts today. The Bible says that motives are weighed by the Lord. Motives are weighed by the Lord. Whatever we do, motives are weighed by the Lord. And so he may not be saying it out, but God saw that he swallowed the glory that they gave him. The glory that men gave him, that glory, and rather that he give the glory back to God, and no, this is God and not me, he swallowed that, he possessed that glory. He stole the glory that did not belong to him, because that glory belongs to God. The Bible says he gave not God the glory. Therefore, the Lord took the soul from him. Now, there is a man in the scripture that we all know very well, and that is David. The Bible says that David said, by God, by you have I lived over a wall. By you, I have run through a troop. 2 Samuel 22, verse 30. He says, by the Lord, I have lived over a wall, and by God, I ran through a troop. And we all know the account of David in the scripture, so many battles that he won. He went to so many battles and he won so many battles. But he gave not glory to himself, he gave the glory to God. Because he acknowledged that it was God that was at work in whatever he was doing. In whatever exploit he was able to do, it was God that helped him. In that same scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible says, and David, 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So, after the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So, David recognized that God delivered him, and God indeed delivered him from all his enemies. And in verse 30 of that same chapter, he said, for by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. He gave the glory to God, because the glory belongs to God. We just prayed this morning, God, make me an overcomer. When God indeed makes us an overcomer, are we going to recognize who made us one? Are we going to recognize, are we going to give glory to the one who made us one? Are we going to get there where he has promoted us to be able to represent him? Are we going to come back and say, God, I thank you because you blessed me, you enriched me. I give you the glory. I give you the glory. You know, our Father and the Lord just told us now during the tithing period, how Abraham was returning back from the battle of kings, and the Bible says that he gave a tithe of what he was bringing from the battle of kings. He gave the tithe because he gave God the glory. God deserves the glory. And I pray this morning that the Almighty God will speak to our hearts, and we will recognize that he is the one that deserves the glory, and we will give it to him in Jesus' name. But the Apostle said, 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, says, though I plant and Apollo water it, he says, it is God that gives the increase. Brethren, it is vain for us to wake up very early and sleep late. There are people who do that. Wake up too early, you know, we thank God for the play our choir just showed us now. You see how worried the woman was, how worried she was, but there was the thing she was looking for, because God knew that it was there. So God is the one that he has completed it. So, but there are people who wake up, and that's why the Bible says it is vain for us to wake up very early and sleep very late and still eat the bread of sorrow, because it happens to some like that. Because they worry all about life, because they give not all the glory, because they think that it is their own strength, it is their own might that they want to use to accomplish it. There are people of the world who do that, but I want to tell us today that the prosperity of the fool is going to be their doom. They are not happy. There is no joy in it. They may be excited, but there is no joy. There is no deep-found joy in it. So we cannot compare our successes, we cannot compare our blessings with the prosperity of the world, of the fool. Because the kind of prosperity that God brings across our way is the one that comes with peace, is the one that comes with ease. And that's why Brother Paul said, though I plant and Apollo water, it's only God that can give the increase. Whatever input that we think we are doing, we are making, It's only God that can bless it. It's only God. When a farmer goes to the farm and he plants a seed into the heart, he knows that he has to trust God for it to grow. He knows that it is not everything. I don't know how many of us have done a little gardening before. I have done a little of that. If you plant, put say 4 grains of corn into the heart and you cover it, you cannot say that okay, I put 4 there, I'm expecting 4 to come up. It's only God that can determine how many of the 4 will grow. If all the 4 sprout up, it is God. It's the doing of God. It is also possible that we get there. Sometimes you get there, you know that, oh, I planted one here, and then you get here, you found one sprouting here. This one, nothing is coming up because you can't determine it. You don't have the power in your hands to determine that you have to grow, and then it grows. You don't have the power in your hands to say, I put 4 here. Why is it that 3 are coming up? Well, what happens to the 4th one? No, it's only God that can answer that question. Only God. And so if we know this, especially because we are Christians, then why don't we give God the glory? Why don't we give him the glory? It says in the book of Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, it says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. So we wake up every day, we look for gold, we look for silver, whatever we look for, money and everything is a similitude of gold and silver. But he says in this word, he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And that's why when we do lay our hands on silver, when we do lay our hands on gold or on diamond or whatever it is, we need to remember the one to whom it belongs. And let us give it to him. The Bible says he's the one that gives seed to the sower. He's the one that gives bread to the eater. He's the only one who can give us seed so that we can sow. And he's the one who can make fruit to come from that seed. And so, he deserves to have some of this seed back, or some of the fruit back, because he gave it to us in the first instance. He gave it to us, and that's why, in Yoruba land, I say, back in Nigeria, I don't know if everyone knows Yoruba, what I mean by Yoruba. It's a tribe in Nigeria, where I came from. They say that if a farmer that hits the set, the set is a portion of the yam that they plant. The farmer that hits that one should not forget that next year is soon going to come. Next year will soon be here. So once you hit the set, that's the seed of the yam that you want to plant. Don't forget that next year is soon going to come. So when you hit what you are supposed to sow, don't forget that the time is coming when you need to plant it again. But when you have hit it and next year comes when you are supposed to plant it, what happens? So that is why we don't have to hit the seed. The farmer does not hit the set. As soon as they harvest the yam, they begin to keep the set because they have to plant it again. It does not belong to them. It belongs to the ground. Otherwise, nothing comes back the next year. Otherwise, this year, they may have something. Next year, it's going to be dry. Nothing comes. And if nothing comes the following year, nothing comes again because the set is gone. So this morning, I want to enjoin us, brethren, keep your set. Keep the seed. Don't let the seed die, and don't hit the seed. Don't hit the set, because next year is coming. Next year, for you and for me, may not be 2017. Next year may be next week, that somebody is going to bring his tithe into this place. And somebody is going to bring his offering here. Because if you forget that there is going to come a time for you to sow, and then you hit it, that time will definitely come. The Bible says, as long as the heart remaineth, seed time and harvest will not cease. So even if we forget, that time does not forget, because God has destined it. God can actually go to sleep. That time will come, because God has said it, and it will come. Seed time and harvest will come. So whether we know it or not, or agree with it or not, that time will come that you will be called upon to put in your seed into the ground. If only you want to eat your yam the next year. And so this morning, I want to also remind us that not only do we belong to God, whoever we are, not only does everything that we have belong to God. I want to also tell you that your tithe, just to be specific, that your tithe belongs to God. In the book of Leviticus, we have read a lot of verses of the book of Leviticus in the last couple of Sundays. The book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30, the Bible says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy." It is holy. And so anytime we put it in our mouth and we swallow, let us know that we have swallowed the holy thing. We have swallowed the holy thing. And so let us not be surprised when the consequences of the one that swallows the holy thing begins to happen. But I pray that that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. The people, we know the people who swallow the holy things. We know about Achan in the scripture. He swallowed the holy thing. And so this morning, I want to remind you that the tithe is the Lord's. The Bible says, "It is holy unto the Lord." Let us not swallow it. Let us separate it. Let us put it aside. We must first settle in our hearts that it belongs to God. And that's why this morning I'm reminding you, there are some things we need to settle in our hearts. And then we agree. You know when sometimes you are discussing with a friend and you tell your friend, that one is a settled case. You don't want to talk about it again because it's settled. When you talk about it, it's like wasting time. So this is one of such. We need to settle it in our hearts. But you know what? Unfortunately, we don't settle it in our hearts. And that's why we have a lot of questions. You know, when unbelievers have a lot of questions about, oh, Jesus, especially the Muslims, oh, Jesus is the Lord, he's not the Lord, and all those, so many questions. But believers, we don't have such questions. But we have questions about, why should I tithe? Why should it be 10? Why should it be this and that? Why should it be on this and that? These are our own questions. And the irony of it is that we don't have, when it comes to God blessing us, we sing it in a song, we say it in words, we prophesy, we decree it, we bind it and lose it, that God must, you must bless us. We don't have questions about God's obligations to us, but we have questions about our obligations to God, unfortunately. We have questions about our obligations to God. We have questions about why should the one who gave me my soul ask for my soul? We have questions about why should the one who gave me 10 ask for 1 out of 10? But we don't have questions about why should he give me 10? Why did he give me everything? He gave me all the 10. We don't have questions about those. Brethren, 10% is not too much. If 10% is too much for us, then 10 of 10. It is too much for us to ask from God. If 10 is 1 out of 10, it's too much for us to give to God, then everything is too much for us to ask from God. If somebody is giving us 10 things and is asking for 1 out of 10, and that 1 is too much for us to give him, then 10, the entire 10 is too much for him to give us. That's the way it is. And so anytime we approach God, we approach the throne of mercy, let us remember that there is a covenant relationship that we need to build with him. There is a covenant relationship that we need to build with him. Brethren, and God has said that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake and for my sake. It does not answer to prayer. It does not. It answers to covenant. It answers to you doing your part, fulfilling your own obligation, and tithing is that obligation that I want to remind you this morning. I know there are some other things, so many things that represent our obligations to God. But this morning, I want to remind you that tithing, especially when you talk about the issue of prosperity. And prosperity, the Bible says, in 3 John, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth." So prosperity involves your soul, your spirit, your body. And so when you are talking about prosperity in all ramifications, it is tithing that will launch you into that. It is tithing that will launch me into it. And this morning, don't delay. Why should you tithe? It is the Lord's. Why should you tithe? God commanded it and it has to be obeyed.
Malachi 3:10, he said, bring me all the tithes into the storehouse. And you know, there's an emphasis I want to make in this place. He said, bring all the tithes into my storehouse, into this storehouse. The storehouse is the house of God where you are being nurtured. That's the storehouse. And he says, let there be meat in my house. Let there be meat in my house. God wants you. Does he need the money? No. He needs your obedience and he needs the meat in his storehouse here. This storehouse belongs to God, and you are the one that is good. You are the one. We are the ones that are going to eat of the meat in this place. Whether directly or indirectly, we are the ones that are eating of the meat of this place. We are sitting on chairs now because we have God has used us to provide meat into his house. We can put on the light here because God has used us to provide meat into his house. And so if we consider that God is using us to provide meat into his house, why will God not provide meat into our own house? Why will he fail us? Why will he fail to provide meat into our houses? If he uses us and we obey to provide meat into his house, why should we tithe? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 22, that's the last scripture I think I'll be reading here. The Bible says in that place, Deuteronomy 14, 22, that your field may bring forth. That your field may bring forth. So when we tithe, our field will bring forth. When we tithe, our field will bring forth. When I tithe, my field will bring forth. Why should I tithe? Deuteronomy, okay, let me read this last one, 26, 12. He says that strangers and fatherless and widows, as a matter of fact, I was talking about the need in the house, so that the need in the house will be met. And that's why God is calling us to tithe, so that the needs in his house will be met. Brethren, this morning I want to encourage you. I know that sometimes when we begin to use the human calculations, it appears as if 9 over 10 is no longer enough. But I want to encourage you. Remove what belongs to God. And prove him now herewith. Prove God after you have removed his 1 over 10 or maybe more. And prove God with the rest and see how God begins to teach you how to spend the remaining. See how God gives you favor. Where people spend money, see how God gives you favor and you don't have to spend money. What people spend money on, see how God gives you favor and you don't have to spend money on it. Where people are laboring to get things done, see how God does it for you. Where people are knocking and knocking before it opens, see how God opens the door of that place even before you ever get there. Where it appears as if there is no way, see how God suddenly opens the door for you when you get there. That is why you need to tithe.